Continuation of this reading of the resolution.
I have the last resolution, number 5, which the committee recommends being adopted in regard to services rendered to the Grand Igloo as well as the different Igloo throughout Alaska by Frank Heiselman.
Resolution number 5, resolution of commendation. Whereas Walter B. Heisel has served as treasurer of the Grand Igloo since 1954, and whereas Walter B. Heisel has rendered faithful and efficient service since his appointment, and whereas Walter B. Heisel has conscientiously collected all funds due the Grand Igloo and dispersed same only on order of the Grand President and Grand Secretary, and whereas the financial status of the Grand Igloo has improved measurably under his management, whereas Brother Heisel has admitted his resignation as Grand Treasurer due to his retirement from the Customs Service and his leaving the state, now, therefore, be it resolved that the Grand Igloo Pioneers of Alaska, in session assembled this 15th day of October 1960 in Seward, Alaska, extend to Brother Walter B. Heisel our sincere appreciation for his years of faithful service to the Pioneers of Alaska, and also express to him and his wife, Louise, our best wishes for a long and happy retirement. Space left for the Grand President to sign, the Grand Secretary. The Committee on Resolutions recommends the adoption of this resolution. Signed by Thorvald Osbold, Audrey Loftus, Doris Sweeney, W.C. Arnold, Frank L. Horn, and Charles D. Jones.
All in favor, vote for the usual sign.
Just a second. Oh. She's looking up.
Pardon.
He's only been in 3 years.
Brother Jim? According to the official roster, in 1956, Arthur Lutro was registered as Grand Treasurer in this book. And in 1957, the convention held in Fairbanks, Walter B. Heisel claimed it entered as Grand Treasurer. He was absent, but he, so he was evidently elected in 1956 at the convention in Cordova.
Questions in Baltimore? All in favor of the approval of the resolution as presented? Vote the usual way. Any opposition? Motion's carried. So ordered. And then copies will be sent to Walter. I'm going to sign it. It is signed. Well, this morning you heard the report of the Grand Secretary. That report must be approved or rejected by the group. What is a pleasure to be Grand Duke?
Which one that is? Probably the
Mr. President, there's two more.
Oh, my.
A lot of people
First Vice President Carl Austin, will you put the question to the floor?
Auditing committee report. This here is a something about the treasurer's report.
Oh, accepted. Yeah.
The treasurer's, they yeah. should include the
The auditor's report is accepted with the treasurer's report. They both work together. Well, unless someone else wants to do some work.
Do you want to present this afternoon?
Well, I think, what do we do with there? Just hand it to them?
No, let's present this tomorrow.
What?
Present this tomorrow.
I know, but what's the procedure?
Well, it's just, it could be said on behalf of auxiliary number 9 of Seward, their delayed charter, original charter, is presented.
Well, we don't make a talk on anything, right?
No.
No form.
No, I don't think, unless you want to. And it's to be presented to Francis. Francis Jones, president of auxiliary number 8, Francis Jones.
dead hearing.
We're not getting you,
Report, and they want the auditing committee's report. This is just the treasurer's report. This doesn't include the secretary. They say it doesn't. This report hasn't been made by the auditing committee.
All right. The call for the question on approval of the auditing committee's report. Well, we had that.
The president's, grand president's.
No, we had that before. Just didn't we?
What, you mean this in here instead of this?
No.
Well, this is here.
We had the treasury report approved.
Yes.
This morning.
The
auditor's report approved.
That's what they want.
No.
Vanika. But then Jim said that your report has not been accepted. Are you not?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Vanika just didn't?
No.
He made a motion to be accepted.
Jim, my report was, the record show my report was accepted after a little delay.
Auxiliary number 9 of Seward.
Yes.
Francis.
But the president has accepted.
Hmm?
The president would accept it.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, that's Mrs. Jones.
Yes.
She and me all. Is the president of Auxiliary, Seward Auxiliary number 9 in the hall, Mrs. Jones, will you come forward, please? You just come forward.
Yes, I know. A delayed charge.
Now, Mr. Jones, you're the president of Seward Auxiliary. And you know you haven't had any charter.
Yes, sir.
You know that, yes. You should have had one years ago. And you see, we like to get all the work done up here. Well, I got some spare time. And now it gives me great pleasure, Mr. Jones, to present to you, on behalf of your sisters, auxiliary number 4.
Nine,
the charter, which you should have had received 2 years back.
Thank you.
Yes.
Audrey Loftus to come up here and explain the Panama Yukon Historical Society. And please ask Vice President Audrey Loftus to comment on the efforts in preserving pioneer history. Sister Audrey Loftus.
Audrey, did you hear that?
Thank you.
from the Historical Society has dedicated itself to gathering and preserving the historical data of that particular region, and of course for many other areas which we may in which we may find the material. We have been coordinating our efforts with IGLU number 4 in Fairbanks in tape recording the histories of the old timers. This is very important, this first-hand information. Harry Hughes has been very active in IGLU number 4, and of course that he has is also a member of the Historical Society. I can't stress too much the importance of gathering this material now. Too much of it has already passed from our hands. It isn't the material that you can pick up in any history book or any school book or magazine. It's the little things that the pioneers of this country know, that you do not know, and I do not know, and the historian 100 years from now will not know unless we gather. An interesting facet of this thing is that when I was visiting Rome recently, I took the Pioneer IGLU tape recorder there with me to tape record some of the histories there. Charlie Jones has told off and on a great deal about his life, but when he was recording his history, how many of us know this one fact? I had never read it anywhere. I said, Charlie, when you ran for the first legislature of the territory, what did the ballots look like? And Charlie said, we didn't have ballots. Every man who wanted to run for office turned up his own and left it at the polling place. Now it seems that in one particular polling area, he didn't get a vote because his opponent threw them out. But it's the multitude of these little things that we must gather now. Also in Nome was a gentleman whose father was a Russian. He came to this country, fled from Russia after an attempt to assassinate Alexander of Russia. Now there were a number of attempted assassinations. I'm not certain which one he's been on, but it certainly scared the daylights out of him for the United States. Later came to Alaska because they spoke Russian here. His father was here when they lowered the Russian flag and raised the Alaska flag, and he, among many other Russians, were given the opportunity to return and refused. They didn't want to go back to Russia. This man was born, particular man from Rome, was born in the States but came back here. He is half Native and half Russian. He has contributed a great deal to the history of Alaska. He not only taught school but was on the beach at Nome, one of the first, I believe, 15 men on the beach at Nome. So that man's history is down now. We have 2 hours of solid tape recording. He speaks very well, and I'm certain that his history had it not been for Charlie Jones, but bringing him up for me while I was there, that particular bit of history would have been gone. It would be my recommendation that every IGLU in the state of Alaska buy one of those little Steelman tape recorders, which is about so wide, about so high, and about that thick. It's very portable, it's lightweight, They had two speed ovens, one little tape, which is only about so big, will play a half an hour at the slow speed, which records the voice just as well as the pressure speed. If these ignorants, with their auxiliary cooperating, would take upon themselves to take the course, the history of that area, we would have one of the finest collections of unwritten material that you'll find any place in the world. The Historical Society and the Pioneers, issue number 4, are going to store their tapes at the university in a fireproof building where they cannot be destroyed. But in order to be certain that somebody doesn't turn the wrong button on the tape recording machine and erase one of those tapes, we are also going to type them all, so there will be a typewritten record. So I think the most final thing to be done is that we should take this upon ourselves. And I do thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Rodney. You know, in our work in Ketchikan, we have gathered a lot of old photographs. And we have numbers of groups photographs. Well, I shouldn't know them all, but I think there's some of them open. And now we're very, very sorry that at the time they were made, there was some not some indication on the back of the photograph as to each individual made. I probably know the face, I know the faces, trying to recall the name, but I can't do it. So if you have that same trouble, it'd be wise to keep working and try to associate the name and the face together. Now the Credentials Committee, then go further work. They have prepared a form of credential and proxy. It reads Delegates Credential and Proxy. Grand Igloo Pioneers of Alaska. Black for the igloo, black for the number, black for the auxiliary and the number. This is to certify that Mr. John Bell has been duly elected to serve as a delegate to the convention of the Grand Igloo to be held at Anchorage on September and so forth. Signed by the president of that igloo, the secretary of the igloo, and the seal of the igloo of Fitch. Down on the bottom, in one line, I hereby appoint, or hereby assign my proxy to Black Richard Rowe to act as delegate. A signature for the delegator is not going to make it with a witness signature. Now what do you think? Would you like to add something to that? Like that adopted? And then have tablets on the print so that it can be the grandson, the secretary to furnish each auxiliary and igloo some of the pads for future operation. It's very, very short.
Mr. President, I would like to make the motion that this here form of that the committee has presented be printed in a tablet form with the gum top, and it is really, it is a wonderful work of art, and I think we should have this here, and I'd like to make a motion that we have them printed.
You see, that's all there is to it. Good idea. Much shorter and sweeter than what we've been using. Have you heard the motion that it be adopted as the official credential and proxy, and that it be printed in the government, and of course copies passed by the leaders and auxiliaries?
Question.
A call for question. Questions called for. All in that favor? Raise your hand. Contrary? The motion carried and so ordered. Now, tonight, referring to your program, we have the cocktail party at the Sewers Elk Club starting at 6. And well, I can come home and take my pants away. And then at 9 p.m., we have the skit on the grand ball in this hall. Now, tomorrow's work is short. At 1, there will be nothing in the morning. As far as business is concerned, for the grand vigil, you go to your churches. But at 1:30, we will convene in this hall for the memorial service. And at 2 o'clock, we'll take up all business matters. We will then act upon any further resolutions which may come in. I don't think there are any.
No,
I don't believe that there is time for putting a resolution. We will take up unfinished business, if any. And if there is none, the good of the order. After the good of the order, we will recess and install the newly elected officers. Past President Bob the Army will act as the installing officer, and he has selected Otto Cobham as his grand chaplain, Laura Sweeney as his grand secretary, and who is your guide?
Dick Davis will be available.
Oh, Dick Davis will be available. But if he's not, why, it's easy to pick one because it's all in the book, one you have to be able to read. Now, if there's no further business, oh, pardon me.
The
you get up here so they can all hear you on that. That's part of the program.
The Tip Can Auxiliary will put on their little skit right after 9 o'clock as one of our musicians for our ragtime band is going to be in such changing costumes to be raising band. And then we're going to have a little dance, and then the Fairbanks, I believe, and the Anchorage people will be integral of play, and then a little skit, and then dancing, and another little skit. And I understand that the Seward people are have a entertainment at 11 o'clock. Is that right?
I think so.
Well, if you're going to have a dance, how about the chairs? How are you going to get the hall clear?
Well, they can sit right around the room. Look at that.
All right, you'll be running it, Doc. I'm not going to argue with you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, take it. Sure,
recess until Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock.
Well, I'm putting these little notes on here too, so when you come to me, you know about what we're at.